What's the title of this year?
The Neglected Parsha of Shavuot.
Parsha of Zot HaBracha. When Phil called me a number of weeks ago and asked me to give a shiur on Parsha of Zot HaBracha, I must say that I was thrilled with the idea. I believe, indeed, Parsha of Zot HaBracha is the forgotten Parsha. It's lost in the midst of the Yomim Tovim, and there is a great deal that is extremely, extremely important and of great significance in Parshat Zot HaBracha. I'm going to try and take you through a number of parts of the Parsha, a number of Psukim and Rashi, and we will see what it is that the Parsha has to say to us. I may do a little skipping around. I'll do it as the feeling overcomes me. It may be a bit of a wider ranging discussion this evening. Well, let's see, let's begin. Parashat Zot HaBracha, of course, is the final address of Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, in which, after the tochacha, the admonishing of Parshat Ki Tavo, he now blesses the tribes. And in his blessing of the tribes, what he really is doing is telling them the future. He's giving them an indication of what their qualities are. What are their strengths? What is their great potential? And what is going to be expected of them? As I went through the parasha, there was something that struck me that is extremely, extremely important. I'm just going to read a number of Rashis. In the bracha to the tribe of God, says the following, Ulegod Amar. To God, Moshe said, Baruch Marchiv God, blessed is the one who gives breath, who spreads out God. Kilavi Shachain, he dwells like a lion, the Torah Zroa Af Kotko, the head and the arm he's able to destroy. Says Rashi, Lefi Shahaya Samuch Asfar, because God lived near the border. Lefichach nimshal ka'arayot, therefore, he is described as a lion. Shekol hasmuchim lasfar, because all who are close to the border, tzrichim lihiyot gibodim, have to be strong. We go on to Dan. Dan is also described as a lion. Well, the Don Amar, and to Don he said, Don Gur Aryeh, a young lion. Yezanek min habashan, he comes out of the Bashan. Says Rashi, Af hu haya samuch lasvar, he was also near the border. Lefichach moshlo barayot, therefore, he is compared to a lion. And finally, in the last bracha, which is to the tribe of Asher. Ula Asher Amar Baruch Mivanim Asher, blessed is Asher with sons. Yehiritzu Yechav, he is accepted and loved by his brothers. Barzel Unechoshet Min Alecha, metal and copper are your wax. Uchiyamecha Tavecha, and the flow of your days will continue. I want to read a Rashi. Two pshatim in Rashi. Barzel unechoshet min olecha. A lak. The lak is made of metal and copper. Says Rashi. Achshavu medaber, now he is speaking keneged kol Yisrael. Moshe is speaking to all of Israel. Shahoyu giborehem yoshvim ba'arei hasvar, their mighty ones, their strong ones, lived along the border. V'noalim otan, they were lack. They closed the border from before the enemy. Shelo yuchlu ha'ayvim likanes, that the enemy should not be able to enter. Ki ilu hi segura, as though the land is locked, closed, b'man olim u'berichim, with locks of barzel and nechoshet, metal and copper. Dovaracha, the second shot in Rashi. Barzel and nechoshet min alecha, you have locks of metal and copper. Artzichen ne'ula, your land is locked and closed. Behorim, with mountains from which they cut barzel and nechoshet. Va'arzo shel osher, the land of osher, haitam man'ula shel eretz yisrael, the land of osher, along the coast, that was the lock. It closed eretz yisrael to the sea. Three Rashis, and in these three Rashis, he is making a statement that should be clear, should be understood, and tragically, it's the failing of our generation. We are guilty that we permitted 120,000, 130,000 people living in Yehuda, Shomron, and Azar to become seen by the world and even in Eretz Yisrael as sort of the crazies, the settlers. Rashi calls them Giborim. Those who live on the border, those who are the lack of Eretz Yisrael, they're the mighty ones. Barzel nechoshet min olecha. The Giborim, what a tragic, tragic error that was made, and we permitted it. And it started 20 years ago. To take people who are really the continuation or the fulfillment of what once was the Zionist dream, to be seen as people who are obstacles to peace, a falsification of history. And we're paying for that tragedy. And we did it to ourselves. Rashi calls a spade when you speak of all of Israel and you talk to them about those who are living on the border, Hayu Giboreim Yoshvim Ba'arei Hasfar, the mighty ones, the strong ones, they're the ones who lived along the border. The Noalim Otah, they closed and they locked the country so that no one should be able to enter. And we have permitted, passively, to allow those people who were the natural fulfillment of, as I said, what once was the Zionist dream. The Ganya heroes, Tel Chai, will be remembered for all time. But Bethel, Shiloh, Kiryat Arba, Ofra, unfortunately we permitted others to malign Giboreihem Shel Yisrael, the mighty ones of Israel. If Rashi says this three times in Parashat Vizot HaBracha, Rashi knows of what he speaks. Those who are on the border, they are the fulfillment of what was, and I believe is and will be, the great dream of Klal Yisrael. Second, there's a second pshat in Rashi. Rashi says, Barzel unechoshet min olecha, artzichem nu'ula, your country is locked, behorim, with mountains. There is also a natural barrier, In addition to the Giborim, there is the natural barrier. There are Bahare Yehuda, the Shomron. This is the barrier. This is what locks Eretz Yisrael. Maybe somebody should tell Rashi, territory doesn't mean anything. Rashi, what are you talking about? 900 years ago. Don't you understand? We're living in different times now. Torah is eternal. Moshe Emes, the Toroso Emes, and what Rashi says is eternally true. Barzel Nechoshet Min Alecha, that which lacks Eretz Yisrael, are the heroes, the mighty ones who live along the border, and the natural terrain of Eretz Yisrael. The madness of thinking that we will be able to defend an Eretz Yisrael without the Kippurim and without those mountains. Folly of the highest order. Speaking of folly, I suggest if you want to get more aggravated than you may already be, and incidentally, if you're not aggravated, you should be aggravated. And if you're not depressed, you should be depressed. And even if there be somebody who feels 10 chance, Vashalom, I don't hate that word. I despise it. 10 chance. Give peace a chance. Yes. I suggest, and I made the mistake of pulling the book out again after about 20 years that I hadn't read it. There's a book by Barbara Tuchman called The March of Folly. The March of Folly. From Troy to Vietnam. And what Barbara Tuchman says, I'm just going to read a few classic sentences. What she really does is she traces the folly of governments and leaders throughout all of history. And she's talking specifically about instances where it was clear they knew that it was folly, they were being told that it was folly, and they still went headlong to do it. A phenomenon, she writes, a phenomenon noticeable throughout history, regardless of place or period, is the pursuit by governments of policies contrary to their own interests. Mankind, it seems, makes a poorer performance of government than of almost any other human activity. In this sphere, wisdom, which may be defined as the exercise of judgment, acting on experience, common sense, and available information, is less operated and more frustrated than it should be. The question that she asks throughout the book is, why do holders of high office so often act contrary to the way reason points and enlightened self-interest suggests? Why does intelligent mental process seem so often not to function? The answer, of course, is going to be ambition, power, a desire for acceptance, the will to do something very historic, the will to be different. In fact, the Mesilat Yesharim talks about it. A pasuk in Zot HaBracha. Vayihi b'yishurun melech b'hitasef roshei om yachad shiftei Yisrael. Vayihi b'yishurun melech. God was king over Israel, over Yeshurun. B'hitasef roshei om, when the leaders of the people gathered together, Yachad, Shiftei Yisrael, all the tribes of Israel are united. Rashi brings it, and Chazal say, God's divine presence rests upon the Jewish people when they are united. Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. But the key for Yachad Shiftei Yisrael is Behit Asef Rosh Heilom, when the leadership is thinks in unison. When there is a joining of the leadership of Klal Yisrael. But when Klal Yisrael's leadership is split, no unity, Chalila v'chaz, God forbid, what can happen? The fact is, I didn't have to quote the March of Folly by Barbara Tuchman. The Mesilat Yesharim that Moshe Chaim Ritzato toward the end of chapter 11 of Mesilat Yesharim, he says, he describes the march of folly through Jewish history. And he says it was obviously the result of great ambition, lust for power, prominence, importance, coveted honor, that brought about great tragedies in Jewish history. Yerovam ben Nevat split the country, divided it into two kingdoms because he wanted power. Gemara even tells us that God appeared to Yerovam ben Nevat and said, listen, you, Ben Yishai, and I, we're all going to walk through Gan Eden together. And Yerovam ben Nevat asked, Mi Barosh, who's going to be first? It was a lust and a passion for power that brought about ultimately the downfall of Yerovam ben Nevat and the splitting of Klal Yisrael for generations to come. Korach, Ma Ra Korach Lishtuzu, what was it that Korach saw that brought him to do such folly, to destroy himself and all of his family and all who were with him? Power, covered, prominence. There wasn't a Nobel Peace Prize in his day, but he might have had that in mind if it would have been. The Miraklim, the famous Arizal. Arizal says, why indeed didn't the Miraklim want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Because they saw that their style of leadership was okay in the desert, but they would not be leaders in Eretz Yisrael. And they were able to bring destruction down upon an entire generation. The folly of leadership. And the march of folly goes very unmerrily along throughout all of history. From the Trojan horse to Vietnam, I hope it will stop here. But it is clearly documented throughout all of history. It's possible for leaders to take their government, their people down a path that is in complete contradiction to the self-interest of themselves and of the nation. It's possible. It's happened before. It's happened very often in the past. If we're talking about strength, the might and the strength of those who live along the border, there's another Rashi that talks about strength. And it's a fascinating Rashi. In Parashat Zot, in Zot HaBracha, there are five tribes whose names are mentioned twice. Vilizvulun Amar and to Zvulun he said, Smach Zvulun B'tzeitecha. Zvulun, be happy when you go out. Ulegod Amar and to God he said, Baruch Marchiv God. Blessed is the God who gives expanses to God. Ulegod Amar, Don Gurar again. Five of the tribes, their names are mentioned twice in the blessings. Says Rashi the following: Elu Heshvatim, these five tribes that were blessed at the end, Zvulun, Dod, Don, Naphtali, and Asher. Kofal Shvotehem, Moshe mentioned their names twice. Lechaz come to give them strength, Ulahakbidam, and to give them might. Lefi Shahoyush, Chaloshim, Shedachol Ashvatim, they were the weakest of all the tribes. Heim Heim Shaholich Yosef, Lifnei Paro, they were the ones that Yosef brought before Paro. Shenema, as it says back in Parshat, Vayigash, Umiktsei Echav, from amongst his brothers, Yosef took some of them and brought them before Paro. Rashi says, who are the ones that he brought before Paro? The weak ones. Why did he bring the weak ones? So that Paro should not take them as soldiers in his army. Those weak ones are now given an added bracha by Moshe. And especially, as Rashi Bless says later, that many of them are going to be sitting on the border. They are going to be the first line of defense. On one of the tapes, for that matter, the tape of Parsha Vayigash, you know what tapes we're talking about. This is the commercial break. In the Parsha Vayigash tape, I talk about Rashi back there. A fascinating Rashi. I'm going to go over the Rashi quickly. Rashi says the following: from amongst his brothers, he brought a number of them before Paro. Says Rashi, min ha'putim shebehem l'gvura, the weaker ones, she'in nirim givorim, the ones who don't look like they're strong. Rashi is very careful. All of the tribes were strong. They were all powerful. They were all mighty. But some looked it, and some didn't look it. The ones that didn't look it, they're the ones that he brought before Paro. She'in yidah otam givorim, because if he'll see that they're strong, he will make them anshei milchamto, he will press them into military service. The Elohim, who are the weak ones? Listen to the Rashi, fascinating. Who are the weak ones? Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, Ubinyamin. Those who Moshe did not double their names in Zot HaBracha. Ela otam shalo kapal Moshe shmotam bishabercham. But the names of the mighty ones, he mentioned them twice. If you remember the Rashi that I just read in Zot HaBracha, this is not the same Rashi. But wait, it is the same Rashi. V'zot liHudano. First shot is the ones who were not given a double blessing, they were the weak ones. And they're the ones that you... Moshe that the Yosef brought before Paro. And then an unusual Rashi. There is no Rashi like this in Chumash. I know that I say it about every Rashi, but this one, it's really so. I will also show you a few other Rashis, highly unusual. Says Rashi, Zel Shon Bereshit Rabba, this is what is said in the Medrash Bereshit Rabba, Shehi Agadat Eretz Yisrael, which is the medrash that was written in Eretz Yisrael. Ahol b'Gemara Bavlut Shelanu, but in our Gemara, which is Babylonian, Motzinu, there we find Shaltan Shekafal Moshe Shmotan Hemachalashin, the ones whom Moshe gave a double bracha to, they were the weak ones, and they're the ones he brought before Pharaoh. A machloket between the Medrash Bereshit Rabba and the Gemara. Did the weak ones get the bracha, or did the strong ones get the bracha? But Rashi does something here that's very fascinating. Rashi in Sefer Bereshit has quoted Bereshit Rabba, the Medrash, 100 times, 200 times. Never once does he become scholarly to tell us that this Medrash Bereshit Rabba was written in Eretz Yisrael. he has quoted Talmud Bavli hundreds of times, what, thousands of times? And never does he refer to the Gemara as Gemara Bavli, our Gemara, our Babylonian Talmud. Why all of a sudden does Rashi become scholarly here? I think that Rashi is telling us an extremely, extremely important message. And the message is the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, the strong need a double bracha. In Chutz La'aretz, the weak need a double bracha. In Chutz La'aretz, the strong, they'll survive. Who are we concerned about outside of Eretz Yisrael? The weak, those whose identity with the Jewish people is weak, it's not strong, they're the ones we're losing. In Chutz La'aretz, we're losing millions to assimilation and to intermarriage. Talmud Bavli understood the weak are going to be lost in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a double blessing. Eretz Yisrael depends on the strong, and the strong are the ones who need the double bracha in Eretz Yisrael, because the strong have to have the will to be strong. One can be strong, but without will, the strength is meaningless. And therefore, Rashi is very careful to point out this difference of opinion. There's a difference of opinion between the Medrash Bereishit Rabbah, which is the Medrash of Eretz Yisrael, and Gemara Bavli Shelanu, our Talmud Bavli, our Gemara Bavli. I don't know whether the question I'm going to ask now is a rhetorical question, or I'm going to leave the floor open for answers. I'll decide that in a minute. Don't say anything yet. Don't say anything yet. If I were to ask you, so I'm just afraid that everybody's going to have something to say. If I would ask you, what is the greatest thing Moshe Rabbeinu ever did in his great career? Nothing like the life of Moshe, one of the greatest leader who ever lived. The Ish Elokim, Lo Kom B'Yisrael, there was no greater than Moshe. What's the greatest thing he ever did? What's the greatest thing he ever did? All right, I can look, I can see already the looks on your faces. I can see the looks. He took a slave people out of Egypt. He took a people that were bent and broken, and he formed and forged them into a nation, Klal Yisrael. He took them across the Red Sea. He gave them Torah. He led them for 40 years through the desert. He brought them to the Jordan. Let's see what Rashi says. An unknown Rashi. You're not going to forget this Rashi. There's good reason why the Rashi is unknown. Because it's the last Rashi in all of Torah. The last pasuk in Zot Avracha says, "Ulechol hayad hachazaka, ulechol hamora hagadol." The great strong hand, the awesome greatness, asher osa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael, that Moshe did in the eyes of all of Israel. A description of the greatness of Moshe, the great and awesome things that he did in the eyes of all of Israel. Listen to Rashi. Ulechol ha'amor ha'godol le'enei kol Yisrael. Do you know what the great thing that he did was? Shenisa'o libo lishbor haluchot le'eneihem. When he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of stone in his hand, he shattered them. Shenema, as it says, va'ashavrein le'eneihem. I broke them before your very eyes. And God agreed with him. Shenemar asher shivarta. Yeyasher kochacha shivarta. God agrees, God acquiesces, and he says, Moshe, yasher koyach shivarta. Good, you did the right thing. I'm ready to bet that nobody in this room would have said that that's the greatest thing that Moshe Rabbeinu ever did. Huh? You said it. I lost the bet. There are people who think, okay, I lost the bet. Listen, such bets I don't mind losing. I didn't put any money on it. Do Jews know a Rashi? So what's the pshat? Now we have to understand, what does Rashi mean? Why is this the greatest act of Moshe? Ulechol hayad hazaka, ulechol hamor hagado, asher osa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. I'm not certain, but I believe that this was said by Rav Soloveitchik Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha 20 or 30 years ago, maybe more. What Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of when he came down the mountain and he saw Jews dancing around the golden calf, he was not concerned that they might reject the Luchot, they might reject the Word of God. He was even more frightened that the same people who are dancing around with an egel would grab the Luchos and dance with them too. I'll explain what he means. I remember very often, and I think this is what the Rav had in mind, you are able to pass synagogues and temples in the United States of America with massive luchot outside the magnificent edifices that they built. But those luchot were absolutely empty of all meaning. There it is. I have the luchot hanging up over there, emblazoned on the building, but Shabbos is no Shabbos, and Kashrus is no Kashrus, nothing. An empty shell. But behind that empty shell, we have the luchos. What Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about is they would take Torah and they would falsify it. They would empty it of all of its meaning and all of its significance. It's possible to take Torah and simply destroy it. Shimon Peres and Givorna Pesek. Shimon Peres says there was a curse on Yericho Sola. He knows that Shemitah doesn't apply in the Golan. Past, I don't think Shimon Peres ever heard of Shemitah in his life. But he's using Torah. He's using the Aseret HaDibrot. He's using the Luchos. He's using Torah. He's utilizing it for his own vile purposes. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of. The same people dancing around with the egel would take the luchos, a compass they would make, as they would empty it of all of its meaning, make it a hollow shell, use it as a weapon. And it's not only Shimon Peres. Not only Shimon Peres. I'm not afraid to say it. I get dating is not a basic backlight Israel. We are in the hands of young people. I don't think he was bar mitzvah during the Six-Day War. And he is the leader of Klal Yisrael. He's making decisions about what's going to take place with Yerushalayim. He will not say what's going to happen with Yerushalayim yet. He's ready to give back the whole Golan. And all in the name of Torah. Of course, all in the name of Torah. That's taking the luchos and emptying them of their meaning. Of course God tells Moshe, that's the greatest thing that you did. If you wouldn't have done that, Torah would not be recognizable. It would not be the Torah Emet that we know. I was, a few days before the vote, a few days before the infamous vote, I was sitting with a member of a party, not Shas Bavli, and tells me that, listen, chances are that we will abstain. Chances are that we will abstain. Before Yom Kippur, somebody came to me and asked me a serious shiloh pikuach nefesh. So I said to him, listen, I abstain. He looked at me like a rishuvina. I said, listen, there's a mupsak halacha. Shiloh pikuach nefesh, one way or the other. He said, no, in the old days, you paskin. Now you can abstain. So I said to this gentleman the following. There is a very famous Rambam, and I believe everybody knows the first half of the Rambam. I'm not going to take any chances anymore about betting how many know the second half of the Rambam. Two of you know it, okay. The Rambam says, Afal Pishet Kiyat Shofar. Even though the sounding of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is Gzeirat HaKatov, it is a divine decree. Ren es yesh bo, there is a message. The message is, awaken you slumberers from your slumber. Arise those of you who sleep, those who have fallen into the nonsense of the rat race of life. Awaken, awaken. The Rambam goes on to say, Lefichach. Therefore, if you've awakened and Yazol Kol Ela Mikem, each and every one of you should forsake Darko Hara, his evil way, Umachshavto Ashelot Tova, and his thoughts that are not good. The Rambam says, therefore, Tzorech Kol Adam, every person has to see himself, Kol Ashtona Kula, a person is supposed to see himself, Ki Ilu Chetzio Chayev Ve Chetzio Zakai, he's half guilty, half innocent. 50-50. Mitzvahs and Averis, precisely the same. V'chein kol ha'olam, he has to see the whole world, chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayim. He has to see the whole world as though half is zakai and half is chayim. Chodochet efod, if he does one sin, harei hriyeh et atzmu v'kol ha'olam kulo l'kaf chova, he has inclined an entire world. He's condemned an entire world. The God of Allah has caused, he causes destruction for the world. Also, mitzvah achas, if he does one mitzvah, harei hichriyat atzma ve kol ha'olam kulo l'kafskut. He has brought joy and happiness to a whole world. So I said to my friend, or he thinks I'm his friend. I'm not his friend. Well, I said to him, isn't this fascinating? The Rambam says a person is supposed to see as though the whole world, see himself as though the whole world, 50% chayiv, 50% zakai, one mitzvah, joy to the whole world, one avera, destruction. Why didn't the Rambam talk about a third possibility? He does nothing. He abstains. Third possibility, he abstains. So I told him, you know why the Rambam didn't mention that? Because a live human being chooses. A human being, a mensch, makes a decision. Yes, no. There's no such thing as abstain. I learned something from a Hebrew-English dictionary. we believe, you know, there are believers, those who believe in God. There are atheists, those who don't believe in God. And then there is what's called the agnostic. The agnostic is the one who has suspended judgment. He exists, he doesn't exist. There is a revelation, chas v'shalom, there isn't a revelation. William James once said, in theory it's possible to be agnostic, but in practice one must live his life either with the knowledge that there is a supreme God, a creator who makes demands, or you live your life as though there is no God. In practice, there's no such thing as being an agnostic. What do you mean you suspend judgment? You have to live somewhere. So I looked up my Hebrew-English dictionary. It's a cheap one. And I looked agnostic. So, of course, the first translation is agnosti. another meaning, co-fair. Co-fair. The one who rejects and denies God. I imagine the poor fellow who wrote the dictionary, when he came to the word agnostic, he just, well, suspension, you haven't decided God exists, doesn't exist, you can't make a decision, bad, naked, it's good for the Jews, it's bad for the Jews, you can't make a decision, then you're a kofer for you. That's what he said. Kofer. There's no such thing as not taking a decision. But there's something else that's extremely important about this number. I believe it becomes the responsibility of each and every one of us to see ourselves in the present situation as though whatever I may do is going to make a difference. I see people, I meet up with demonstration. What's a demonstration going to do? So I went to the first one. What's a demonstration going to do? Lefichach, if the Ramban says a person has to see himself as though the entire Medina is chetzi of chayev v'chetzi of zaka, you do one mitzvah. You are machria, hakol lekaschut, it's true in every step of life. Make no mistake. And if you think you're not making a difference, go home and write a letter to Rabbi. Do something. Let nobody for a moment think, well, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to go schlep, knock on schlep. Demonstrations and the expression, the legitimate expression of feelings in a democratic society can have an awesome impact. Let nobody for a moment think, it's all over, the small got it all, Mincha Hashem Ne'edori Bakoa. I am the Yamin, and I'm happy to be Yamin. That's what the Yamin stands for. It's amazing what Parashat Zot HaBrocha has to say. I'm going to read another pasuk or two. I'll just deal with one more word. And I believe it's this one word that is at the root of our entire problem. Ma'ona Elokei Kedem Umitachat Zeroat Olam Vayigoresh Miponecha Oyein Vayomer Hashmeid. It's so important. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm going to read another few psukim. And with that we'll close. But the word is important. Vayishtom Yisrael Betach. And Israel encamped, secure, butad, alone, Ein Yaakov. El Eretz Dogon V'Tirosh Avshom Ov Yavutam. Late this afternoon in my sukkah, I reread an essay that I haven't read now in 10 years, 15 years. An essay that was written by Yaakov Herzog, Zichrono Livracha. The title of the essay is Am Levadot Yishkov, A Nation That Dwells Alone. I believe it is in English translation. what he says the thrust of his thought is, political Zionism made one tragic mistake. Folly! And he says, as he read the speeches that were made in the early part of this century, they looked forward to Jews returning to Eretz Israel, establishing a state over there, moving back the desert, making it bloom, a veritable Gan Eden over here, bringing health care and education to everybody in the Middle East. What a blessing for the Middle East. And then finally, that we would be a normal people living in a normal land, just like all other people. It says, the normal circumstances for Klal Yisrael is Bodad. We're different, we're separate, we're alone, and that will never change. And Gilad know that. We are different. He said that he once had a meeting with senior diplomat. He had a meeting with a whole bunch of scholars, theologians, and others, and he asked them that pasuk, Am levodad yishton uvagoyim lo yitchashav, that which was said by Bilam. And there were scholars there, Bible scholars, Bible critics. How long ago was it written? So, of course, scholars began to disagree. One said 3,000 years, one said 2,700, one said 2,800. So, okay. But one thing, we will all agree that it was 2,700 years ago that it was said. Then he asked them the next question. Was a prophecy or a statement of this sort made about any other people on the face of this earth? Absolutely true. The mistake that our government is making is thinking that we will be able to remove ourselves from the mode of Badad. It can't be. The normal circumstances for Klal Yisrael are to be Badad. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlomo says. Vayishkon Yisrael betach. When is Yisrael secure? When Yisrael knows that it is Badad. It's alone. It's different. It's separate. It's distinct. The rules that go for all other people simply don't work for us. And therefore, if one thinks that one is going to become the darling of the world by entering into all sorts of agreements that are not in the best interest of Klal Yisrael, it's because one does not believe what God says by Yishkon Yisrael, betach, only when it's Badad. We are different. The rules don't apply to us. The only time we were ever the darling of the world was after we lost 6 million. Too high a price to pay. If that's the price that we have to pay to be the darlings of the world, wined and dined, it's not worth it. And here, entering into a new era, as though, my, we are going to be recognized by countries all over the world. The whole world is going to love us. God forbid it's the kiss of death. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, by Yishkon Yisrael, but betach, badad, then it's badad. That's what it is. And that's the condition of Klal Yisrael throughout history. We were never otherwise. And it will never change. And our strength is in the knowledge that we are part of. Vayal Moshe, just a few psukim, and with this I close. Vayal Moshe mi Arvot Moab, and Moshe went up from the plains of Moab on Har Nevo to Mount Nevo, Rosh HaPisgah, to the head, top of the peak of the mountain, Asher al Pnei Yerecho, facing Yericho. Vayar Eyu Hashem, and God showed him at Kol Ha'aretz, at HaGilad Adon. God showed him the whole land from Gilad to Dan, all of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Menasheh, all of the land of Yehuda, at HaYom HaAcharon until Yalamela. and he showed him the Negev and the Kikar and Bikat Yerecho Ir Hatmalim Hatzor. Vayomer Hashem Elav, and God said to him, Zot Haaretz Hashem Nishbati L'Avraham L'Yitzchak L'Yakov Leimor. This is the land that I swore to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so saying, Lezakacho etenemo, to your children I will give it, Hed iticho ve'enecho. I've shown it to you with your eyes, the Shom Alon Tapor, you're not going to cross over there. By Yom HaShem Moshe, and Moshe died over there. Chassidim say, or to Kabbalah by Klein Disorder, anybody who is able to shed a tear when they read this, of the death of Moshe, Zocher to Gan Eden, to Olam Abba, all of. I'm afraid that this last parsha over here in Torah has brought me to tears. Two things. First pasuk, Vayal Moshe. Moshe goes up Me'arvot Moav El Har Nevo. Says Rashi, Kama Malo Tayu. It was high up. Upasan Moshe Psiachat, and Moshe made it from the plains of Moab to Har Nevo in one single bound. Psiachat. What's troubling Rashi? Rashi is bothered. It says that Moshe went from Arvot Moab, from the plains of Moab to Har Nevo. All of Sefer Devarim, they are on the plains of Moab. Why does the Torah have to tell us he went from the plains of Moab to Har Nevo? To tell us that he did it in one single bound. I believe what Rashi means to tell us is that Moshe, as the Torah says at the end, his strength was with him till the last moment. I read the Rashi, and there's something else that occurred to me. The quicker Moshe gets to the top, the sooner he's going to die. But if getting to the top means that he can see Eretz Yisrael, he's ready to run to the top and see Eretz Yisrael, even though it means Mesiras Nefesh. He'll die earlier, but he wants to see Eretz Yisrael. It's worth it. It's worth it. Vayomer Hashem Elav, here I'm just going to read the Rashi. God says to him, this is the land that I promised Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov that I will give to their children. Says Rashi, Kidei shetelech v'toma, so that you should go, I want you to go and tell Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. I want you to tell them shvuah shen nishba lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the oath that God gave to you. Kiyamt, I fulfilled it. Moshe, go tell them I fulfilled it. Vezel, that's why it says Lamar. Lakach heritilacha. That's why I showed you the land. Avok seirah milfanai. You cannot cross. But I want you to go to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov and tell them I showed you the land and the promise that I made 400-500 years earlier, I have fulfilled it. And the land is from Yericho to the Bashan to Asa to Yehuda to Shomron. Are we going to be the generation that what? We'll turn around to God or to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and what are we going to say? What we have to be able to say, and in Yitz Hashem, Tfilah, demonstrations, whatever it is that we have to do, we have to be able to say the promise, the oath that you gave to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to Ben Yishmael, you fulfilled it in our day, and there is no going back.